Well, the grain markets are stuck on rally, and I'm not sure we've hit terminal upwarditude just yet. There's a crop yet to plant, the weather's still pretty sketchy in farm country. I can tell you this, for now anyway, this handsome newsman has happy news to report for grain growers. Live from the sliding sunshine scale via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we welcome John Payne from StoneX. He's also the publisher of This Week in Grain and the Swine Times. In the final segment, Jeff Wilson from Pro Farmer checks in. And right after the news, make way, Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com. Handsome newsman behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk, Davis Michelson here, saying welcome to the show. And here we go. Welcome, 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 everybody. Glad that you've tuned in. Chip was called away unexpectedly. You know, they say anything can happen in live radio. And I don't know if I heard this correctly, and I don't even remember who said it, but I wrote it down in my notes one day, a couple of days ago during the show. You've heard that old phrase, expect the unexpected. I think somebody said, accept the unexpected. I like that a lot. And so what we're doing today, we're accepting the unexpected in Chip's absence. He'll be back tomorrow. But I'm so glad that you've tuned in, because I've got a great conversation planned for you with John Payne today. I don't even know if we'll get to it all. I want to talk money flow, outside market influence on this rally in the grains. By the way, did you see the grains? I got corn up double digits. I've got soybeans up double digits. Meal, oil up. Here's hard and soft wheat up double digits in nearbys. Oh, and look, here comes spring wheat too, up double digits as well. We're going to talk about that, see if there is any outside market influence on this rally. But of course, it's a swine time to talk about China, hogs. It sounds like they're going to divide up the country into hog districts or something to try to control the spread of ASF. Bit of a new approach there. They're putting restrictions on feed rations, you name it. We're going to try and fit it all in today's show. We may have to go into extra innings. I don't know if Joe can approve that or not, but we'll see. We'll try and fit it all in. Of course, Jeff Wilson at the end of the show. I'm not sure what we'll talk about, but there's lots to talk about, and it's really just a matter of choosing which subject we want to start on. And of course, Todd Bubba Horowitz coming up directly here. But first, let's get into today's news. According to World Weather Inc., crop-damaging cold temperatures this morning in the southern plains will reduce the size of this year's wheat crop. An assessment of the loss will begin later this week, but a true understanding of the damage will not be known until the harvest is complete. Worry over spring wheat planting and development conditions will continue in the northern plains and Canada's prairies, although it is not too late for those crop areas to get warmer, to get some more moisture, and to get planted. The building crop concerns spurred by the news cold weather threats supported another sharp rise in the wheat complex today. July hard red wheat a dime higher, 630 and three quarters. July soft red gain 13 and three quarters to 675. September spring wheat 11 and one quarter cents higher, 692 and one quarter. When we're talking about this assessment from World Weather Inc., and they are right, the assessment of loss, we really won't be able to tell until harvest, and we know that. And Chip and I talked about the recovery that we've seen in wheat crops past who've been burned by a little bit of frost. But there's a change in the tone here. This sounds like, you know, crop-damaging cold temperatures. This is now crop damage rather than just perhaps some vegetative growth getting singed. And they're saying it probably will reduce the size of this year's wheat crop. To me, that sounds like big news. May corn futures breached $6.21 to close at the highest level on the continuation chart since the expiration of July 2013 futures. Next resistance on the May is at 632 and one half, heading into deliveries next week. Meanwhile, D's futures rose to a new high. Rising cash prices are chasing shorts out of the nearby contracts on inability of commercials to secure cash inventory from farmers. And of course, Brazil's Safrinha corn crop remains at significant risk, with half of the crop currently under moisture stress. May corn futures rocketed 18 and one half cents higher, 625. July up 14 cents, 606. December corn up six and three quarters to close at 535 and one quarter. And you know, let's not discount the impact of this cold weather in the U.S. Midwest this week. It's also a concern, but we're expecting that as soon as temperatures warm up, soil temperatures, the weather squares away, we'll be turning and burning here in farm country. Stronger soy meal and soy oil futures on China's Dalian Commodity Exchange overnight added some buying incentives to soybean futures earlier today. Palm oil futures rallied sharply, supporting the oil market. Soybean futures roared higher despite reports that China has directed hog feeders to limit soy meal in feed rations. Rising U.S. cash and basis levels excited buyer enthusiasm in today's trade. May bean futures 25 and one quarter cents higher, 14.97 and a quarter. July up 21 and three quarter cents, 14.79 and a half. November bean futures closed at 13.10 and one quarter, up 10 and three quarters today. May cotton was 104 points higher, 84.81. December cotton gained 62 ticks, 83.68. Stand by. In the next segment, we'll cover the livestock news. I got to bring in Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com. Bubba!
What's up?
How are we doing today? Are we gloating? You blue card side guys is a blue?
Blue is up, right? I've been blue for so long, I can't remember. I think it was a Wednesday back in March when I said the bottoms were in, I think.
I'm
not gloating. You know, I know anything about gloating. Sometimes it turns into whining. So I'd rather just go steadily and just continue the way we go. And yep. I think we're going a lot higher, too. I think there's a lot more room. And if we get some weather issues, look out. So I think
a wise trader once told me the market will go up until it doesn't anymore. Fair statement?
Very, I think I know that wise trade. Yes, it will. It will go till it doesn't, and be prepared, not surprised, right? And
that's, go global. Go global with me for just a second. We don't have a ton of time. Russia amassing forces against the Crimean Peninsula, against Ukraine. There, we got China fiddling around with Taiwan. What are we looking at here?
I mean, you're looking at the same BS as always. I mean, wheat's very political, which is tied right to Russia. And right. China's always full of crap anyway, so we'll see what they're going to do. But hopefully they can maybe get it under control. But, you know, the hog prices have not really reflected the ASF, the Asian swine flu. So, you know, maybe it's more of a story than it's not a story, right? Maybe it's more their story. And, you know, yeah, I think that's always an issue when you're dealing with anything that ever comes out of China, you have to take with a grain of salt or a little bit of Asian swine flu.
Sure, sure. Or maybe a little dash of soy sauce. talk to me about the equity markets. What are you seeing today that raises your eyebrows? Anything?
No, they're going higher. I mean, look, you know what? We're in the environment of cheap money. Cheap money will continue to fuel markets. And the good news is that this money is overflowing into grains, and it will continue to do so because money is going to keep searching for new places to go. So, and I think that that's why I believe that you're only at the beginning of this rally now in the grain markets, because there's going to be some money that usually isn't there that's going to start flowing, because that's a big spot for money to go once they're overloaded in equities. And I think we're getting pretty close to overloaded in equities. So I think that money will flow over, and it looks other than, unless there's something that goes wrong, higher we go.
Blue is definitely your color, baby. You look good in blue. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for your time, man.
Hey, all right. Davis Michelson. Thanks, baby.
Woo-hoo! We'll be right back with John Payne from StoneX. We're going to run the table here, talk about all kinds of stuff. You're not going to want to miss it. Let's see what we find out together right here on AgriTalk.
Each year, there are billions of bushels of corn out there just waiting to solve the world's most pressing issues, like climate change. Demand fluctuates. Exports are unreliable. So how do we use all that corn right here at home to change the world? POET is working hard to ensure reliable domestic demand for ever-increasing corn yields. Not only is the need for clean bioproducts made from your crops continuing to increase, nationwide adoption of E15 is also on the horizon. This would increase the amount of bioethanol in the nation's fuel supply from 10 to 15%, resulting in a market of almost 2 billion bushels of new corn demand each year. That's 2 billion really good reasons to support biofuels. It's time for farmers and policymakers to unify around E15. Bioethanol is the key to successful agriculture, and successful agriculture can change the world. Learn more at poet.com/ag.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone. Davis Michelson here to do a little dance, talk a little farm, markets, China, whatever we got. We're going to talk it all if we can. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Your pal Davis Michelson here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk in Chip Flory's stead, who was called away unexpectedly, but everything's fine. He'll be fine. I did get a chance actually to glance at his caller ID, and it looked like he got a call from the Astronaut Academy. So he may have gone over there. Maybe he missed a line in his application. I don't know. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, I've got John Payne from StoneX standing by. But first, as promised, I've got to get to this livestock news. We've got traders evening positions ahead of USDA's cattle on feed report. Getting a handle on the year-to-year comparisons might be tricky, though. Last year's numbers, of course, were skewed sharply lower by COVID-related processing disruptions. June live cattle today, $1.95 lower, $117.25. August fat cattle fell $1.42.5 to $117.97.5. May feeder cattle off $3.17.5 to close at $139.60. And on the snout side, the volatility continued in the lean hog market with summer month contracts leading declines as traders look ahead to USDA's cold storage report. This as cash hog bids continue to rise. May lean hogs dropped 47.5 cents to 107.60. June hogs down $1.82.5. 104.52.5. John Payne from StoneX. Thank you so much for joining us today, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Davis. Fantastic to be with you. Appreciate it.
Outstanding. I'm looking at these markets. I'm looking at their trajectory over the last week, the last few weeks here, and I go back to my favorite Back to the Future movie. I got to say it's Back to the Future 3, where they go back to the Old West. And the solution is Dr. J. Emmett Brown figures out a way to rig up this locomotive to the time machine, and they've got to get it up to a certain speed so that it will transport them through time. They throw log in. They've got these special logs. Every once in a while, they throw in the green log, then the yellow, then the red. But eventually, they run out of track, and the engine will inevitably fall into the abyss. Where are we at on that scale? Are we at the green log, the yellow log, the red log? Or are we about to go off the track on this grain rally here right now, John?
Well, I think it depends on what market you're talking about. I hate to bulk them all together here. You have a corn market that is really, you want to break into three markets, really. I think you have the old crop that's around. And honestly, you know, you want to say I think we're still in the green. Watch Brazil's market. If Brazil goes up, we're going up. Because typically this time of the year, Brazilian corn on the export markets will be cheaper than U.S. Just they simply win the export game. That isn't going to be the case this year. Or at least if it is, then the U.S. has supply that they have to deal with on the export side on top of what they're losing now, just due to the increased demand we're seeing from consumption. So it's a major, major problem that isn't going to get solved in the short run. And there's no really import market for Brazil to go to. They can go to the U.S., but again, I think that's what you're seeing right now, that they don't have supply. There's contracts that aren't going to be met here. And in the case of Safrina corn, you know, 5 years ago, it represented half of all the corn grown in Brazil. Now it represents almost two thirds. So that growth is disappearing quickly. And in my opinion, you see December 21 follow. You know, we don't really need to win acres here, but it's really what price can we shut off some export demand, because the Q4 export demand is what we're going to get that we really don't want. Because that supply isn't going to be there. It's coming out of the field at that point. So that market, I think they're, you know, maybe more in the yellow. And then if you want to find one that's more yellow red, I think you look like December 22 corn. You know, what's 480? What's $5? I mean, at that point, you are starting to price in big acreage expectations again. But honestly, unless demand cracks, prices are going to continue to stay high. So that doesn't mean that the cash will keep going up. But I think the deferred futures contracts, much like the last few years. So think about how we traded, you know, pre a year ago, and how the deliveries, when everybody had to put their hand up and say, I want corn, it's available on the board, it's delivery time. There was so much corn available, the price would discount into delivery and meet cash. Kept doing it around, say, 350, 360. Well, now the opposite is the truth. We're looking at, you know, cash corn in Brazil and Argentina is going to be north of $6. So that is probably not going anywhere in the near term. And now you're looking at those deferreds like September going to six, and then eventually the December goes to six, and then the March and so on. So at this point in time, I think the board itself is made its move. In the case of soybeans, I'd be a little bit gun shy to be adding. I think the real bullish markets lie in the wheat patch because, you know, we're trading very, very cheap discounted to where we were in 2012. And if everything's going to go to those levels and wheat goes to eight, you know, that's kind of been the MO.
Right, right. Well, and if we're looking back at corn, I'm hearing more and more about, demand for ethanol. On the export market, you know, prices are up. Here, domestically, supplies are low. I forget, you know, what the span of time is, but it's at a long time low right now. And meanwhile, it sounds like we're entering into a spot where commercials themselves are almost clamoring to get a hold of corn, ethanol guys and other processors and whatnot. So it does seem like there's some more room to go. Does the momentum continue to build here?
Taking short-term price action is asking me like who's going to win the game tonight. I have an idea, but I don't know.
Right.
I would think we can see $7 here on the May. That's where the Brazilian crop is, you know, corn crop is. So if we're going to go there in the May, I mean, again, I think it makes sense. If we're a dollar under them and they need corn, they're going to import it from us. So at this point in time, they're running on fumes and they're not going to get a new crop supply. The weather I'm hearing down there is just, it's brutal. And, you know, you're talking about knee-high corn planted late, coming into a dry season on not so great soil. So the market finds itself having to ration demand. Now, what price is that? You know, how expensive is corn? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, you look at the historical ratios here. I mean, the last time we traded at $6, you know, let's use the S&P 500. All right, let's price corn in the S&P 500, shares of the S&P. Okay, for every one share of the S&P, we divide it by 100 contracts of corn. At the worst case scenario in 2012, we were at 2-1. At the best case scenario for the S&P, it was at 10-1. That was just a few months ago. So that means it took 10 contracts of corn to buy one share of the S&P 500. Now it only takes six. So we're only halfway to where you could say, well, corn's expensive relative to the S&P. So my opinion here, there's more to go. I think the wheat market is tremendously attractive, especially given what's going on in Ukraine. So it's as bullish as it was bearish a year ago. I can say that much. Take that for what it's worth.
Sure, sure. John Payne from StoneX with us today on AgriTalk. Let's talk a little bit about that wheat market because, as I mentioned in the news segment, we saw just a little bit of a shift in attitude from at least from World Weather Inc., where they were ahead of this cold snap, talking, well, just some vegetative problems, it'll recover. Now they're saying today there may be some permanent damage. And I'm looking out at a warm, dry forecast for the summertime, and it sounds like you and I might be on the same page in the wheat market.
Absolutely. I mean, wheat's going to trade with corn anyway. So if you have bearish corn news or bullish corn news, you're going to probably stay side with wheat. But wheat itself really hasn't taken the forefront of driving price. Wheat, in my opinion, I mean, 2017 high in Minneapolis was 880. That was 2017. We're at we're at 680 right now. There's $2 in wheat, in my opinion, before you start running into technical resistance. The other thing, and I don't, this is where Twitter, you're online and you follow social media and you follow news. You kind of try to figure out what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. And that's very difficult to get news on that. And honestly, it could be a skirmish. It could not be. But if it does turn hot for whatever reason, it's within a stone's throw of a third of the world wheat supply, and it's stuck in the Black Sea.
Right.
So how are these North African buyers going to react? What are they going to do? Are they going to go to the West? Or are they going to go to the East? And that's where, in my opinion, longer term in wheat, if you'd be prepared for some sort of action. So looking at monthly charts, and I'm looking at a monthly chart of Minneapolis wheat right now, you're 686. I mean, we traded $10 in March of 2012. So we traded, 840 in June of 2017. So if we have real weather problems and we have a war or something like that, I think wheat's got tremendous upside.
Bubba was just a little bit dismissive about the Russia thing, but man, they've got, I don't know, 100 and some thousand troops built up. They got naval ships over there. Britain is getting involved. They told the Biden administration to stay out of it. It sounds a little bit serious to me. Maybe I'm naive.
I can't tell you any until I know. I just know that the Democratic Party, and I'm not trying to, I don't think I'm breaking news here, is not a fan of Russia. They haven't been a fan of Russia for 8 years. And I think that what you're seeing right now, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg, and you're putting Putin in a box with all these sanctions. You know, sometimes a person, if they're in a corner, they're going to push back.
Right. Very good. John Payne from StoneX is our guest today. I still want to talk about some soybean spreads. I want to talk about money flow, influence of outside markets. We got a lot to get to. Don't change that dial. You're tuned to AgriTalk. We'll be back with you right after these words. Time now for headlines ripped from Pro Farmers. First thing today, where China recommends cuts to corn soy meal use in its feed rations. Attaché's Argentine soybean crop estimate 2.5 million metric tons below USDA's forecast. ANEC pairs expected Brazilian soybean exports for April. Japan is preparing to reintroduce a state of emergency in Tokyo and Osaka amid a COVID resurgence. This just 3 weeks ahead of the Olympics. 3 weeks? 3 months. The Olympics are coming up. Chinese President Xi Jinping will attend a White House climate summit on Thursday. That's the first time he will meet with President Joe Biden. Senator Susan Collins said Biden's infrastructure proposal fails to sufficiently embody a fix-it-first philosophy, and the Green New Deal is back. Pro Farmers knew all of this and more before they opened today, and they got to hear me read it out loud on the Pro Farmer app. You can too at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
You are tuned to AgriTalk. Davis Michelson here behind the big green leafy microphone for Chip Flory. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry, everyone. By the way, a little housekeeping. Phil Conrad, it was, from Tradus, said, accept the unexpected. And I may have just heard it wrong. It may have been a glitch in my headphones or something like that, but I really like that. I wanted to give credit where credit is due there. And Phil was also our first contestant on the Rate Your Level of Anxiety for Weather for the coming spring. I want to talk to our guest today, John Payne from StoneX, about that. But first, let me read off the market closes from today. July hard red winter wheat a dime higher, 6.30¾. September spring wheat, 11¼ cents higher, 6.92¼. May corn futures rocketed 18½ cents higher to 6.25 at the close. December corn firmed 6¾ to close at 5.35¼. May soybean futures 25¼ cents higher, 14.97¼. November bean futures closed at 13.10¼. That's up 10¾ cents on the day. May cotton 104 points higher to 84.81. On the livestock side, June live cattle were $1.95 lower at 117.25. May feeders down $3.17½ to close at 139.60. And May lean hog futures down 47½ cents lower to 107.60. John Payne from StoneX, welcome aboard, buddy. Now, we're asking our guests this question. We've sort of talked about wheat market risk a little bit, but I want you to think more broadly, just in general. You said you didn't want to lump them all together, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to ask you to do that again. We're going to lump them all together. If on a 1 to 10 point scale, 1 is a record yield, bin-busting crop across the board, a 10 is 2012 or worse disaster weather-wise, where do you fall on that scale? And you can be crop specific if you want to.
For what world? Like what world? What part of the world? Here in the U.S.
U.S. U.S. Yep. U.S.
Oh, here in the U.S. I mean,
one is a record. Ten is a complete disaster.
Other than Northwest Iowa, we're looking at pretty good weather in all the I states. So, you know, let's. Yeah, 10 is a record yield. Is that like above record, I guess, is what that... I'd say a 7. I mean, I don't see anything here in Illinois. I mean, it's cool. It's cold. But you got... And I'm speaking to the farmers. You guys are good at planting. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're good at doing it fast. And If we could get a dry, I mean, even if we get the crop in here and, you know, don't start for 10 days, I don't think the market's going to care so much about that. But where I do worry about weather is more on the bean side, especially in the southern part of the country where it's really wet. So with beans, mm-hmm. you're a little bit more in towards the 6 and the 5. Okay. And I think that is more, you got problems because beans need acres. You have to remember there's an acres battle going on. Corn all of a sudden finds itself at a $5.50 price point. Well, I mean, $13 beans isn't going to win a war in that, especially given how dry it is, you know, in a lot of the northwestern part of the area, and they're getting started early. So in my opinion, it's just crazy. And it's great that I get a chance to talk to Chip and you every so often because I keep notes of what we talked about pre-meeting. And what we talked about back then hasn't changed in regards to the macro side. We talked about cheap money. We talked about, you know, just the inability for companies to go bankrupt right now and the consumer who has a lot of money to spend relatively. And I think the farmer on this side finds himself in a completely different situation in that they are holding some pretty good cards and they have a nice stack of chips in front of them. So I don't look for the farmer to cave here. And if the markets break on weather, even, I don't think you're going to see these guys sell. They saw this rally. And they, unless interest rates change, and Davis, that's kind of a big thing here. If interest rates change, then we're talking about a different market. But I don't think that's as easy to sell as it is. And right now, I like to mention those ratios earlier. It's like we have a ways to go to catch up to equities just on a general basis. And I don't know. I work with some food companies and nobody's not buying here. They're just trying to get a little more aggressive. And I think a lot of folks in the overseas markets are short bought. I think over in the Middle East, they're short bought. And I think if this Black Sea thing would take off or have some legs, they're going to find themselves back in the Arab Spring of 2012. And that's a fear here that some geopolitical risk. Hungry folks don't tend to behave very well.
Right. Right. Funny how that works. They get hangry. Well, do you want to talk a little bit more about money flow? You know, it seems like there's a certain amount of money looking for a home, and certainly the commodities have to look attractive to a certain degree. What's your thought there?
Well, my thought is if it weren't for the Bitcoin markets and the cryptocurrency markets, I think corn would have a lot more money flow. I think soybeans and certainly some of these other markets would catch more of a bid. And in a way, it's almost to the detriment now because they're not involved. So when the crash in cryptocurrencies comes, and I'm not saying it's tomorrow or next week, it could come from double the price levels. But when the market runs lower and those folks go to take it out, and if it's not there, that's where you could see some folks looking towards other assets like commodities because, you know, some of these cryptocurrencies aren't backed by anything, but you have physical asset out here in corn that backs these contracts. And they're not making more land. And they only grow corn twice a year, really. They grow it here and they grow it in South America. So if we have a problem, scarcity finds a home, you're going to see money run that way. I think it's just started. But I don't think the speculators driving this bus. I think it's the commercial side. And I think there's a lot of nervous buyers out there who aren't going to get their product this spring.
Wow, crypto's the curve wrecker. That's what I'm hearing.
So think about this, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but I'll ask you this question, all you crypto guys out there. Yeah. When the turn comes, and it will come, just like it comes in every single market we have, whether it be the 10-year treasury notes, whether it be, every market has its crisis point, will the federal government be there to help it?
And to clarify, you're talking that term, that turn that you're referring to is a downward turn in crypto, correct? I just want to clarify.
Yeah, just in the cost of capital. I mean, it's difficult to sell things. When you got to sell things to raise money, what are you selling first? You know, are you going to go hungry to hold on to your Bitcoin? And I don't want to get too bearish on it. I feel like it's got legs. There's a lot of reasons why. The scarcity movement I get. But I also think you have to understand that when you look at grains, we have two worlds that have developed over the last year. You have physical markets, which are real, everyday things that you touch and you can handle. And then you have the fake markets, which I don't want to call them fake, but they're digital. I can't put my hands on them. They exist through the internet connection. Those markets have all had their day. They've had their day. Yep. It's now the real market's turn because everybody's going to want to get out and live in the real world for the short term. So I think there's a bubble of that coming, and I think that's only going to help feed grains. I think it's going to help livestock through the beef and pork complex. I know those markets haven't moved yet, but I look for better cattle markets in 2022. And I think hogs here are, you know, going to be up here for a while.
I see China. Two things stick out to me on China. Number one, they're dividing up into five different swine, I don't know what you would even call them, precincts, perhaps, to try and keep the spread down. And they're also calling to cut back on corn and meal in their feed rations here. Those seem like pretty significant developments there that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the newly littered are appreciative of that. They're excited to be eating less. And that'll come out in supply. So at this point in time, you have a market that can't, in my opinion, can't afford to tell the producer not to produce. But at the same time, we don't have enough capacity in this country, especially on the beef side, to kind of chase that kind of profit margin. And that will come. Cheap money will build new. Cheap money and $700 a head margins will build new supplies if the government will let them. And this is where you get back to China, you get back to the government that's in charge here. If they want to go the green route, that's fine. But it's not going to be as cheap as it's been, meaning you're going to pay up more to be green. So if you want to be green, that's great, but be ready for your bills to be higher because that's where the government might force people to pay them. So at this point in time, I think that's really the long run story here that could keep grain prices elevated for a long time. Because if you've noticed in the meeting they're having this week, they're talking about capping carbon emissions. Well, they're going to want to keep U.S. acreage at a level, and they don't want it to go X times 10%. And if it does, that's going to go against their policy. So how do they keep acreage down and keep prices down? They need yield. And that's where like GMO and all the new technologies will come in. But this is all down the road. So maybe we'll talk.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that's fascinating. I want to go back to something you alluded to, and that's digital currency. China talking digital currency. UK has talked about it, and I understand that there's some rumblings here in the US too about a digital currency. Does that maybe change the fake assets to the real asset mix? Huh?
We already have the digital currency. I mean, we just use Visa and American Express and those clearing firms to clear. But there's a reason why there's a coin shortage right now. It's because we've added so much monetary stimulus to the market, there isn't enough currency in the market to support it. So they digitally produce it. So at this point in time, you know, these checks are being written. We're borrowing it from ourselves. It's kind of a weird dynamic, but we're borrowing money to pay ourselves. So that's inflationary in its own right. But at some point that'll end. And if prices go up here and you see the stock market do great and unemployment comes back, they're going to try to raise rates. And that's where I talk about like the digital assets. What are you selling first? I'm not going to sell my house and hold on to my Bitcoin because I can't live in my Bitcoin. You know, I need physical things. So I think that's like the big 30,000 foot picture where I sit. I think we've turned this whole COVID deal has turned the dynamic from the digital world back to where demand for the real world goods are going to be expensive because they're scarce. And that's, I think, what we're seeing in beef prices, we're seeing it in pork prices. And, you know, everybody's going to want to party this summer. So I look for continued upside here in a lot of markets before the Fed, you know, tries to end the party.
Wow. That's a lot to digest, brother. John Payne from StoneX, thank you for a fascinating conversation.
Grateful Dead and listen to this.
Perfect. Now that sounds like a party. John Payne from StoneX, thanks, brother. We appreciate your time, man.
Have a good one.
All right, we'll be right back with Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson to bat some cleanup for us here on AgriTalk. Davis Michelson, and gosh, I'm glad you've tuned in. Don't go away.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Including now, beloved listener. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Hey, thank you, Texter, for sending me the encouraging text. You know who you are. I really appreciate it. Oh, and there's the thumbs up. Davis Michelson here, filling in for Chip just for this afternoon. Just for this afternoon. You know, sometimes he likes his naps to run long. He runs off to NASA. He's got stuff to do. So I'm very happy to be here with you, and I'm glad that you've tuned in as well. Great conversation with John Payne from StoneX. Right now, I've got Jeff Wilson, Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst, standing by. And Jeff, there are three words. You know, I'm the handsome newsman here, so I've got my hands in the news on a daily basis. There are three words that keep coming up, and I want you to try and help me get my head around it. Are you ready? Are you ready for the three words?
Go.
New contract high. It's all over the place.
Risk premium. That's what we're doing. We're adding risk premium to these markets because of three other words. Weather, weather, weather.
But that's all right.
That's also backstopped by the fact that we got cash markets that are moving higher. We got the bull spreads working in corn, beans, wheat. And we have a situation where we really don't have any natural sellers right now in any of these markets. A lot of growers around the world sold last year's crop at prices lower. They don't have a lot left. This year's crop for Brazil, they're sold out basically. They want it. They're reducing their tariffs now to import corn, beans, meal, and oil. And then all of a sudden you throw in three other words, China, 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 and you got plenty of stories there. So you got China, weather, and charts that are just everything's in gear right now with no natural seller in the marketplace. And to backstop all of that, then you look at the reflation trade, and you have a story that continues to make the rounds. You got stocks at all-time highs. You got bonds still at relatively low levels, which have backdropped a little bit from where they were, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we had a little worries about rising interest rates because of the inflation, and the Fed kind of quelled those. But the Fed has said we're not raising interest rates until 2023. And now we have more stimulus packages in the works in Washington, and other nations are also just pumping money everywhere. And, you know, long term, the only way you ever pay any of that debt back is with inflation and higher interest rates. So, you know, right now people are looking for a place to maybe diversify a little bit. And, you know, the one thing I keep coming back is that in March, the CFTC expanded position limits for the commodity funds by over 75% in corn and beans, and doubled them in meal and oil, almost doubled in meal and oil. So we're starting to get to levels now where the fund positions are probably very close to where we were in 2012 if you look at all the markets combined, okay? Corn's probably at a record, and the other ones are catching up to the records that they set in either 2008 in the wheat markets and 2012 in the soybean market. And so there's plenty of buying from those people. But, you know, the thing that maybe some people overlook is that we also have this category called the index funds, where you buy a basket of commodities. And that's where a lot of regular retail investors and even, you know, some of the major money managers, probably some insurance funds or insurance companies and other people that have, you know, things they have to protect from a long-term standpoint. They're probably in there buying some of those baskets. They're not, you know, putting more than 1% of their money in. But when you're managing, you know, $100 billion, 1%.
Gazillions, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
A lot of zeros there. I can't keep track of them. They're not on my pay stubs.
Yeah, they're above my pay grade as well. We should get us one of them money trees that the government seems to have out behind the White House there.
And behind
Capitol. Let me ask you about three of those three words that you had said, weather, weather, and weather. We're conducting a non-official official survey here on AgriTalk. On a 1 to 10 scale, 1 is a record yield, all right? Wake the neighbors, call the kids. We've got a record yield going. We're all going to the steakhouse. A 10 on this 1 to 10 point scale is an absolute disaster. Now we have to wear barrels instead of sweaters. Where do you fall on that continuum?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's not a 1.
Okay.
I could pretty much state that without any kind of question in my thinking.
So not a record but yield, you know, okay.
So let's just say that in any given year, you probably got to think you're going to make a 2 or a 3, you know, just based on normal type weather. So if we're starting at a 2 to 3 and then you go over and you start looking at some of these drought maps that we have. I guess when I talk to some of the weather guys, they're really concerned about this drought that goes from the Canadian prairies all the way down to Mexico and is beginning to intensify. And we're going to know a lot more next month, depending on what the ocean temperatures do, the Pacific Ocean temperatures do across that West Coast. If they continue to cool off a little bit, then the odds increase pretty dramatically that we're going to have probably at least a warmer and drier type summer.
Right.
And the so I'm going to give corn, you know, it's the seed's barely out of the bag. I'm going to give corn.
I need an answer.
Seven.
Need an answer.
Seven. And the beans, I'm going to give
seven.
A five.
Beans a five.
Okay. There's a long way to go until we get to the crop development period. And the,
right,
and the Brazilian
right.
corn, I'm going to give a. I'm going to give an eight.
Oh.
How's that?
Very near a complete disaster there in Brazil.
And that's what the market's been trading this week.
Right. The meat markets have got some key reports coming up quick. Can you give me 15 seconds?
Tomorrow we get the cold storage report, but ahead of that we get the weekly export sales report. We want to see if any pork sales were announced to or made to the Chinese. And then on Friday, cattle and feed report, which is kind of going to have some mixed signals because we don't really know how they're going to compare with last year during the pandemic, but the numbers will
Very
be
good.
Up from a year ago.
Jeff Wilson from Pro Farmer, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Tomorrow morning, you've got Chip back, Representative Cindy Axney, Representative Ashley Hinson, and Senator Tammy Baldwin. Thanks to Jeff Wilson, John Payne, and of course, Bubba, Big Apple Joe. I'm Davis Michelson saying have a great evening, everyone.